Galatians. Galatians chapter 5. And at the beginning of that particular chapter, we find that he's talking here about the freedom that we have in Christ. And then he goes on to tell us about the life that we should live by the Spirit. But he goes on also to tell us in verse 22, and this is the word of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. May the Lord bless us the reading of His most holy word. The fruit of the Spirit. You know, having looked at this particular passage, pondered through it, asked for God's guidance through it, I felt He directed me to my young days when, and growing up in View Park, when we'd go and we would, as boys, we would raid the orchard. Have you ever done that, guys? Oh, sinful people. And we would steal the apples and the pears and stuff. And most of them were so sour, we'd end up with a sore tummy at the end of the night. And our parents would know exactly what we were doing, right? We always get found out, there's always consequences to our actions. But, you know, the very fact that we look at fruit and we think, fruit only comes from good trees, but it doesn't. Fruit can come from bad trees as well. And of course, if it comes from bad trees, it's bad fruit. Right? So we've got to be careful that we're actually producing the fruit that God would have us produce. Right? And that's in our lives. We've got to keep ourselves right before we can look to other people to help them to do the same. And of course, the fruit of the Spirit, whom if we are saying we are walking with the Lord Jesus Christ, then we must be filled with His Spirit. Right? If we are filled by His Spirit, then we must be producing the fruit that the Lord would have us produce. And of course, the first one is love. Do we have love for one another? You know, love is a very misused word today. A lot of people get the word love confused with lust. And to their detriment, they're finding that out. Especially young people. They crave love. And some will settle for lust. But you know, true love is so inexplainable, isn't it? I mean, how do you explain love? The love that you have for your wife or your husband, your children, the rest of your family, your neighbours, your work colleagues. How do you explain that? And yet we have in Christ a wonderful picture of love. I don't think we can get any better than Christ. I don't think we need to look beyond Christ to see the true meaning of true love. Agape love. Unconditional love. Amazing. Amazing. But you know, we look at love and we will love those who love us. And yet God says, I want you to love your enemy. Lord, that's too hard. And in and of ourselves, it is too hard. Without Christ, how can we love those who hate us? with Christ, we can. You know, Joan and I were in a supermarket the other day, and we had a fairly large trolley load of stuff. Wouldn't it be wonderful? We'd be so rich if we didn't have to eat. You know, we'd save so much money. But we were standing there, and this young man had been in front of us, and he saw something, and he went over and picked it up, and he went to come back, and he came behind us, and we said, no, you've only one item, on you go. And he said, are you sure? We said, yeah, of course. We've got loads. And the guy in front of us had already started putting his stuff on the conveyor belt. He'd even more than we had. And he said, please go before me as well. And he said, wow, I've had an absolutely terrible day. He said, I've been messed around all day. He said, I come in here. He said, I've been really quite angry. He said, and you guys have just blown me away. I said, well, praise God. Praise God. Now, even in that little act there of allowing someone to go in with only one item to buy, that young man was displayed a wee bit of love from the horrible day that he'd actually had. Even something as simple as that. I know Joan has these coins that you get. You know, you get them from various organisations, and instead of putting your pound in to get your trolley, you can put a coin in. And again, Joan has been in the position where she's went to take her trolley back and redeem her coin. And, you know, a guy came up to her again not that long ago, and he said, have you changed your £10 note? And Joan said, is it for your trolley? He said, yeah, it is. She says, here, take that. A coin allows the person to use the trolley. And he says, but he says, I can't give you a pound, I've no change. And Joan said, that's fine. She says, take it as a gift. Just mean silly things like that can make a big, big difference in somebody's life. They might be going through the most horrendous things, and just that wee act of kindness or love can change their direction that day. Does that mean that we are some kind of superhuman Christians? No. We're simple sinners, the same as everybody else. But all I'm saying is that we need to show a wee bit of love and compassion to people. It can make such a difference, especially in this world today. And it's also, it's a fruit of the Spirit of God. If we see someone in need, surely we have to go over and help them out. Surely. It's the most basic of human instinct to help a person in need. So there's love. What about joy? Have you got a lot of joy in your life? You know, you should have. You know, we should be the people who are so joyous out there in the street that folk are actually watching us and thinking they're either gone loopy, or they've got something I don't have. We need to express the joy within us that Christ has put in there. What's the alternative to that? I remember as a young man, and I would say, you know, see these Christians, you can identify them right away. They're the ones with the big long Bibles and the longer faces. And it's true. You know, you look at people and you think, if that's what Christianity is about, I don't want any to do it. They're the most miserable people in the world at times. And we should be the most joyous. If we are sure and certain in our walk with Jesus Christ, we should be the most joyful people in the world. And it's a fruit of the Spirit. About peace. You remember that one? Flower power. Peace. Right. What about peace? Do we have peace in our life today? Or are we constantly in a turmoil? Going from one thing to another, to another, to another. Your head hits the pillow at night and there's just no peace. Shouldn't be the case. If we're walking with Christ, it should be another one of the Spirit. That transcends all understanding should be ours. So that when we lay our head on the pillow at night, no matter what our problems are, and I know a lot of people have got a lot of problems. John and I are not distinct from that as well. We have problems too. But we, if we have the peace of the Lord in our hearts, we can lay our head on a pillow at night and be content in that peace that only Christ can bring, even in the heart of all the biggest of problems. Is there. And people will see the difference that is in our lives because we're not going around like headless chickens, always worried and anxious and all the rest of it. We've got the peace of Christ within us. And all the money in the world cannot buy that peace. It's a tremendous gift from God, but it's also a fruit of the Spirit. What about patience? That's a good one. And I'm not talking about the cab game. Right? I'm talking about the patience that we have between one and another. Like just now, guys, I'm going to use football as an example. The World Cup's on and England's doing well. Praise God. You know, you're watching the game, you're halfway through the game, it's exciting, is it going to go to extra time and penalties, and you're there, and and the wife just stands in front of the TV and says, by the way, I'm trying to see if there's a goal. And we get angry, don't we? And we lose our patience. Would you get out of the road? Try and watch the football. About the ladies when they're talking to us guys, and we are in a completely different world, and they're talking to us, we hear that they're talking to us, we can see their lips move, there is a noise coming out somewhere, but it just gets lost. And they say to us, are you listening to me? Of course I am, darling. Yes. What did I say? What you said? And they lose their patience. Hey, we're human. What about the children? They do something wrong. We scold them. We lose our patience. We get fed up. Patience is indeed a virtue. But again, we're human. And we pray, Lord, would you grant us patience, but give us it yesterday. That's the society we live in today. Everything has to be yesterday. Grant us that patience, Lord. Again, it's a fruit of the Spirit of God within us, having patience. You know, Joan will say, you go out. Well, she hunts me out to my workshop. She'll say, right, I've had enough of you. Go and make something. Go on. And after I'm out there a few hours, I come back in and I say, what do you think of that? She'll say, George, that's beautiful. What patience you have. Give me a wall to paper and I'll lose my patience completely. Completely gone. I just don't have time for wallpapering. I'll lose my patience. But it's one of the fruit of the Spirit. What about kindness? Are we kind to one another? Well, and again, as men, you know, we can say, I'm so kind to my wife. Usually when we want something, we're so kind to our wives. And vice versa. We can be kind to those we love, but what about those who don't love us? Can we still be kind? Of course we can. Of course we can. And I'm sure, of course we should be kind. You know, we see many, many more people in the Glasgow area now who are begging, you know, and they're sitting there. Some of them will maybe do a wee bit of busking or whatever, earn their money. Others will just sit there forlorn, with an empty cup, think they'll show kindness to this person, or they'll work on, why? Because I don't know what they're going to use the money on. Should I go to McDonald's and buy them a burger and give them that to eat? Or will they throw it back in my face and say, no, I want money? I've had that done before. But how do we show kindness? How do we show the kindness of God to people? You know, the best way that we can be kind to people is to show the love of Christ to them. How do we do that? Living by the fruit of the Spirit. That they would see something different in us and know that when we do something out of kindness, it isn't because there's a benefit for us at the end of it. Because that's what people are actually used to today. If they're showing kindness or whatever, or patience or love or whatever, there must be something at the back end of this. Because that's the way the world works. Christ says, no, that's not the way we should work. We should show these things. What about goodness? Out of the goodness of our heart, we can give thanks. We can say thanks. You know, I love the Americans for the sayings that they have. You know, and one of them is, you can be hung by the tongue. That's a good one. And you know, the tongue can be such a vicious, vicious thing. It can cause more damage than a knife can, because it can cut right to the heart and bring people to their knees, literally. But what about showing goodness to those who hate us? Are there people in Stranraer that hate you because of who you are and what you stand for? Only you can answer that question. I know in my life there are people in the village where we come from, in law, who do not like what we are doing. They don't like it. And they'll tell us that they don't like it. And I tell them, well, look, I don't care what man says, because I'm not out to glorify man. I'm out to glorify God. I want to be a God pleaser, not a man pleaser. If you're not happy with that, that's your problem. It's not mine. You need to get it sorted out. But we've got to show the goodness of the Lord to people. What about faithfulness? Are we faithful to know those whom we know and love? Are we faithful to our Heavenly Father, who is forever faithful to us? No. Because we're human. And we let him down. We let ourselves down at times. But God says, I want you to show, as a fruit of the Spirit, faithfulness. Faithfulness in your marriage. Faithfulness in your family. Faithfulness to your neighbours. Faithfulness to your work colleagues. Faithfulness to those who hate you. But above all, faithfulness to God. You know, I really believe that people are watching Christians today and they're asking the question, are they willing to live the way they talk about? Well, they walk the walk as well as talk the talk. That's another one of the Americanisms. Well, they walk the walk as well as talking the talk. And if we are living our lives as followers of Christ, then we are living in a goldfish bowl. And people are actually dissecting everything they see and hear about us. Honestly, they are. And they can tell the truth, folks, of what we are actually preaching. We're actually following it. Are we just hearers of the word, or are we hearers then doers of the word? And believe you me, folks, when you do something wrong, especially in a wee place in the law, they would be the first to say, I thought you were a Christian. didn't think Christians did that. Then they start quoting the Bible to you. And you ask them, where does that quote come from? Oh, I don't know. Somewhere in the Bible. Are you sure? Aye, well, I think so. You know, they suddenly become the experts. But we've got to be faithful to what we stand for. And of course, in Christ, we're standing for love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness. Are we gentle with each other? You know, we've got a young lass in our congregation, Jenny. Jenny's been here. She went to Ecuador for a year as a kind of a year out of university or whatever. And she's now married to a young man from Lanark, and the stage is round the corner from us now in law. And Jenny has been married 2 years and she's finding herself pregnant now. Now, Jenny, you look at Jenny honestly, and you would think she's 12. You older ladies will be thinking, how does she manage that? She's 30. But she looks 12. You know, and there's just nothing of her. You know? And you look at her now, and it's like a piece of string with a knot in it. You know, she's only out here with this baby. Think, wow, amazing. And I know that when this baby comes on the scene, it's going to be the first baby in our fellowship, Law Christian Fellowship. And I know that we're going to be getting a wee hold of the baby. We'll be extremely gentle with that baby. I can remember our firstborn, William, when he was born, and John saying, "No, here, have a hold." I'm saying, "No, Lord." So I'll break it, you know. Have a hold. And of course, you get your hold of that baby, and it's just, wow. And you're so gentle. And it's just lovely. And then, of course, they grow up to the teenage years, and you think, oh. Still going to be gentle, haven't you? And you know, as a parent, it doesn't matter what age they get to, you still worry about them. And you still want to just give them that hug. Show that gentleness that we can display. It's also the fruit of the Spirit. What about self-control? Oh, that's a good one, isn't it? Have we got self-control? Well, as from Monday, I'm on a diet. Which Monday? I don't know. Because the Monday comes and you think, okay, this is the day, this is the start of the diet. Somebody comes in with that lovely cream cake. Would you like a piece? No, I'm on a diet, No, that's fine. And you see the piece getting cut, and you think, oh, that looks lovely, that. Well, maybe just a wee bit. The self-control has gone. The diet has gone. But there's always next Monday. We can start again. We delude ourselves at times. And we lose our self-control in a whole load of different ways. What about us guys? You know, we're fine, we're maybe working away there. And, you know, I remember saying to my granddaughter, Rebecca, saying to me, "Papa, could you show me how to hammer a nail into a piece of wood?" And I said, "Sure." And I showed her how to do it. And I said to him, "Now remember, Rebecca, that's the nail you hit, no other one." And she said, "Okay, Papa." And she's bang, 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 bang. Ouch! I said, "You hit the wrong nail, didn't you?" Uh-huh. She lost self-control. But you know, you see these guys in the building site, and this always amazes me. And they're whacking away with their hammers as well. And they hit their thumbnail. And never once have I heard them cry out, Allah or Buddha. It's Jesus. As well as other choice words. I've often asked the question, why is that? Why is it they would cry out at Jesus when they hurt themselves? That's one for your homework. Why do you think that happens? Myself, personally, I think there is power in the name of Jesus. Power. And although they don't believe, or they say they don't believe, why is it he is the first name that comes to their attention when they hurt themselves? Why not Buddha? Or Allah, or whoever. It's Jesus. These are the fruit of the Spirit. Speaking to a young man not that long ago, and we were talking about this very passage, and he said, George, just as we're speaking, he says, I know it does say fruit, but he says, there's so many different things. He says, that has troubled me for a while. But as we've been speaking, the Lord has revealed to me what it really means. And I says, great. What did the Lord show you? He says, it was like a bunch of grapes. They're all part of the vine. Still part of the main branch, the main bush. I thought, that's lovely. What a tremendous and lovely way to put it. All these things are part, they're evidence, if you like, of the Spirit of God within us. And if we are truly walking and living our lives for Christ, these things will be evident in our lives. They have to be. Because they are fruit of the Spirit. But what about Ephesians 5, 1 and 2? It says, be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. I love God's word. I love it. There's something happens within my very being when I read God's word. And we've been reading about these, this lovely fruit of the Spirit. And then here in Ephesians it tells us, be imitators of God. How can we imitate God? By showing these fruits, or fruit. By showing to people that there is another way in this life that can be so tough. That there is hope in a hopeless society through God. Jehovah. Yahweh. Abba. And we can go on and on and on with all the beautiful names that we have for our God. Beautiful names. Matthew 5, 44 and 45, it says, but I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. He causes the sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. Does God say, come to Christ and everything, all your problems are gone? No. He doesn't say that. Christ himself says, take up your cross daily and follow me. It's not easy, the Christian life, if you're doing it right. It's extremely difficult. But God. Luke 6:36 says, be merciful just as your Father is merciful. Does God show us mercy? Oh yeah. Yeah. We deserve hell. We do. We deserve it. Because we know the people that we are. So does God. Yet in his love and his mercy and his goodness, he is willing and able to forgive and forget our sins. What he wants to see is in us is trying to be the person that he would have us be. And we can't do that on our own. We need the Holy Spirit within us to lead us and guide us through our lives, to direct us in the places that we're going wrong. We need it. We need him in our lives. Ephesians 5:8 says, or 5:9 says, "For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth." Is it possible for us to be righteous before God? One day it will be possible, but not of our own, through Jesus Christ. I firmly believe that when Christ looks at us, he doesn't see us, he sees Christ in us, the hope of glory. He sees his Son in us, and he loves us so much. Titus 3, verses 4 to 6, it says, "But when the kindness and the love of God, our Saviour, appeared, he saved us, not because of righteous things that we've done, no, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ, our Saviour." You know, there are so many parts of Christendom that will say, you know, if you do things right, you're going to get into heaven. No, it's not. Some of the best loving people I know are non-believers. Honestly, they would put some of us to shame. So it's not by our own righteousness, it's through Christ. There is no other way other than through Christ. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal of the Holy Spirit. We've got to be born again, that's what it says. We've got to be washed in the blood of Christ. We've got to be walking on the narrow path that leads us to heaven. These are the basics of our faith. Have you ever came across someone who's really so filled with the Spirit that you feel, you know, I need to tie their feet down here or whatever? Because they're going to take off. We need to be like that. I remember being asked the question once, "George, you're a Scotsman." I said, "Yeah." And he said, How do you torture a Scotsman?" I said, "Well, I'm sure there are lots of ways." And he said, "The best way I've come up against is you nail their feet to the floor and put on a Jimmy Shan record." That's a pretty good one. You know, you just want to go on with it and feel the beat. It just gets you going, doesn't it? But God has a purpose for every single one of us. He wants us to be the people that are on fire for him. Is that possible 24/7? No. We need to get sleep. So there's 8 hours away. Perhaps even more. Perhaps less. But then there's the rest of the day and the evening. Do we need then to be in constant prayer? No. Do we constantly need to be reading our Bibles? Look, folks, we need to work. Of course we do. We need to earn our living. Does that mean, though, that we forget about God? Do we come to church on Sunday and worship him and then forget about him the rest of the week? No. No. But what God is actually saying is, though, look, you'll devote time to this, that, or the next thing. How about devoting some of that time to me? And showing me the fruit of the Spirit. Can you really show me that I am indeed your Abba and that you are my children? Romans 8:32 says, He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Does that mean that we then come in prayer to God and we say, Lord, I've seen this wonderful Jaguar car, I'd like it tomorrow? What he is saying, if you live your lives the way Christ wants us to do, to the best of our ability, then he will grant us things. Now, is that like putting a carrot before us? No. Because God wants the best for us. Does that mean prosperity gospel? No. No. Because it goes beyond money possession. It goes on towards eternity and the things that he has stored up for us in heaven. He has something that we at this moment in time cannot comprehend. Our brains couldn't take in what God has for us. Our brains would probably explode if we saw the goodness of God and all its fullness. And yet he wants to bless us. But at the same time, he's saying, I want to bless you, but listen, I want you. I want you. I don't want second best. I want the quality time. As he says, I deserve. Because I am the Lord your God. I don't want you just messing around. I want you to be serious. I want you to revere me. You know, that's something we don't hear much about in church. The fear of God. The reverence of God. You know, I remember speaking to a Muslim and he said, you know, he says, I find it hard to take you Christians serious. And I said, why is that? He says, you've got your holy book, the Bible, he says, and you leave it lying all over the floor and sitting in seats and all the rest of it. You don't revere the Word of God. And I've got to agree with him on that point. We don't give God his place most of the time. We take things for granted. You know, we're going on holiday next week. We're off to Tenerife for a fortnight. Many, many years ago, people would have made that statement and then followed up in the will of God. You never hear that now either. We need to be serious about the Lord. We need to give him his place. We need to be living out the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. And that will attract other people, I promise you. It will attract other people. Because they will see, even before we open our mouths, they will see that there is something different about us. And they'll want to know what it is. But they also want to know that it's true. Remember, a man once said, if being a Christian was a criminal offence, would we have enough evidence to convict us? It's a good question, isn't it? It's a good question. But folks, God wants the best for us. He loves us. Every single one of us. He knows our names. He knows where we stay. He's counted the hair in our heads. That's how intimately he knows us. He knit us together in our mother's womb. He saw us as babies being born into this world. He saw us grow up, perhaps for some of us, in the world for quite a while. And then how his son Christ has touched us and changed us completely and given us that new birth. And he's filled us with his Holy Spirit to the point that we are overflowing, or we should be, in the very fruit of the Spirit. And people change this country. It can change Stranraer. It can change the whole of Britain. It can change the world. Remember what Christ has achieved with 12 men. And one of them let him down. But it didn't stop, did it? It has grown and grown and grown. And if you look, it might not be a tremendous amount of growth in Scotland and Britain at this moment. But look abroad. Look abroad. People are being converted by the thousands. Even Muslims. Is our God powerful? Yes. Is our God amazing? Yes. Does our God love us? Yes. But our God also loves our enemies. As we should too. It's a big ask. I know it is. But so does God. He knows that too. But he just looks to our heart. And he says to us tonight, I believe, are you really going to follow me? Then prove it. Prove it. Display these fruits so that people will see in your mind and the difference will happen then. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you indeed, O Lord God, for your word to us tonight. Father, we thank you for this. Your wonderful Holy Spirit, Lord, who indeed really just turns us around. He's the one, Lord, that convicts us, converts us. He's the one who leads us out of many, many dangers. He's the one who will point us to Christ at all times. And Father, forgive us when we don't do the things that we should. Forgive us, Lord God, when we don't display the fruit of your Spirit. Forgive us, Lord, at times if we actually would grow some bad fruit. But Father, we humbly come before your throne of grace tonight, knowing, Lord, that we are sinners, but we're sinners saved by your wonderful grace. Not on any act of ours, but solely in Christ. And Lord, we just thank you for the God that you are to us. The God of constant provision. The God of correction, encouragement, and love. And we just thank you, Lord. We praise you and we bless you. In Jesus' name.